Today on Lasting Hope, Pastor Greg Spires.
Full bellies reduce our desire to be made full by the presence of God Himself. In comfort, we say, who needs God? And then when the comfort goes away, we say, where is God? I'm not saying we shouldn't be comfortable. Listen, I'm all about it. But we have to be aware of what it does to us. It makes us want to have that instead of God.
Welcome to Lasting Hope with Bible teacher Greg Spires, pastor of FBC in Medford, Oregon. Let's face it, all too often our response to a difficulty we encounter is determined by how we might avoid suffering as a result. However, in Scripture we read that Jesus Himself warned that we would in fact experience tribulation. But coming up, our teacher Pastor Greg reminds us that it's in suffering we discover how God is most faithful. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 14 for an encouraging message titled, Pursuit of Purpose.
I don't know if sometimes you get frustrated with God. I know you're not allowed to say that in church, but you probably say it at home. And the reason is, why is God frustrating sometimes? And the reason is very simple, because we just want a different road. I've got an idea, God. Let's live for your glory on the road that I want. I've got a number of ways that this life ought to be working out. Anybody have a plan for your life? Do you have a plan kind of how things ought to be going? So if you got a plan for your life, and as it turns out, I don't know if you've lived like 5 minutes, you realize the plan for your life and your actual life are sometimes very different. And we've got two options there, it seems like. Either I'm a failure or God's lame. There's a third option. God gains great glory for Himself by taking us on a road we would not normally travel, that He might have victory over sin and death and rebellion in our life with Him out in the wilderness. But the key there is we are with Him. With Him we cannot fail. God wants to have glory for Himself in our lives as we experience victory in this life, even during the difficult things. Pharaoh thinks he is a god. If you know anything about the people of Egypt, Pharaoh believes he is a god. And so what he decides is he is going to seek his own glory too. So look at verses 5 through 9 of Exodus 14. When the king of Egypt, that's Pharaoh, was told that the people had fled, the mind of Pharaoh and his servants were changed towards the people. And the people there is the people of Israel. They said this, "What is this we have done that we have let Israel go from serving us?" So he, that is Pharaoh, made ready his chariot, and he took his army with him. Verse 7, he took 600 of his chosen chariots. Those are the really good chariot guys. And all the other chariots of Egypt with the officers over all of them. So Pharaoh is going to pursue his own glory. Do you remember everything God has done to Egypt at this point? Darkness, angel of death, hail, storms, boils, gnats, frogs of all things, piles of dead frogs. And now all of a sudden God hardens his heart. And Pharaoh thinks he can roll with God. How deceived was he? Pharaoh pursuing his glory has a roadmap and it only goes one place. Whatever he wants right now. That's the self-glory of Pharaoh. He's saying, what I want in this moment is Israel back in Egypt. And I don't want this silly God to think he can do whatever he wants. And I will pursue my own self-interests. And we have to understand that Pharaoh pursuing his own interest for his own glory is absolutely the opposite of God pursuing his glory. Whenever we're pursuing our interests and our desires, and the roadmap is described by merely where do I want to go, it will never lead to God's glory. It will always just lead to our own. And we have a fancy word for that. We call that rebellion. We call that sin. Now, we generally don't like to think of ourselves as being like Pharaoh. But we have to come to terms, because this is what sin is in our life. Whether you're not a believer in Christ or you are a believer in Christ, all sin is the pursuit of my own glory by pursuing my own desires. Now, how often in a given day are we struggling with that? Of course, we're constantly. This is the enemy and his forces, along with our own flesh, are constantly trying to drive us to live our lives as though we're Pharaoh, that I know what's best and what ought to be, and what I am most interested in any given moment is what ought to rule the day. When we pursue our life in this way, it invariably is going to leave us without standing next to God. All right, verse 11 of Exodus 14. The people of Israel said to Moses, "Is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us out into the wilderness to die?" I mean, it's kind of a funny thing to ask. I mean, they're being serious. Why do we need to die out here? We could die in Egypt. Look at what they say here in verse 12, in the wilderness, with God with them. "It would have been better to die under the Egyptians than to die with God." Now, why in the world would they say that? You're dying either way, right? They said, Egypt wasn't great, but it was better than the desert. Egypt wasn't great, but it was better than having chariots chase us down. Egypt wasn't great, but at least had a sense of continuity, and I knew what tomorrow held, and I knew I had a roof over my head and food in the pantry. I was a slave, but I was an alive slave, and I knew what tomorrow was going to look like. And in the moment, they said, if I have to choose between my own personal comfort and relationship with God, I choose comfort. We will take comfort in slavery over discomfort with God any day of the week. And I hate to tell us, this is not just Israel, is it? The pursuit of purpose. Israel pursues their comfort to the exclusion of God. A couple of verses to look. I want to turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning in verse 7. This is what God says. "The Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, fountains, springs flowing out of the valleys and hill, a land of wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive trees, honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and whose hills have copper. You're going to eat and you're going to be full and you're going to bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you." This is verse 11, Deuteronomy chapter 8. "Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today." So what does he say? You're going to have a great land. Then what? Take care. You're going to be comfortable. And then what does he say? Take care. Verse 12, "Lest when you have eaten and when you are full and you have built good houses and you live in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, dollar bills, yo, that's in the Hebrew, then your heart will be lifted up." He says you will have comfort, you will have ease, you will have all that you need. The next step of that, your heart will be lifted up and you will forget the Lord your God. You will have comfort. You will have ease. Take care. The normal, natural, automatic, never changes, if we don't step in front of it, response to comfort, ease, and having all we need is to have our heart do what? Be lifted up. Did God really say? You will forget the Lord your God, the one who brought you out of the land of Egypt, who brought you out of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its serpents and scorpions and ground with no water. He brought you water out of a rock. He fed you manna. He humbled you so that you might be tested and that you might do good in the end, he says. Beware lest you say in your heart, "My power, my might, my hand have gotten me this great wealth." Verse 18, "You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power and wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers to this day." Here's the principle here. Comfort makes us forgetful. Comfort is not evil. There's nothing wrong with it. When God brings it, give him a high five. That's awesome. Enjoy it. Eat to your full. Have a smile on your face. Enjoy the blessing. Enjoy the greatness. Enjoy all the stuff he has given us. In the back of our mind, though, we must be aware of the normal thing we will do. Comfort makes us forgetful. Full bellies reduce our desire to be made full by the presence of God himself. See, in the wilderness, the people had two choices, be empty or be full of God. In the land of promise, in the land of blessing, they have to choose. Do I want to be full of this life, or do I want to be filled with God himself? Comfort makes us forgetful. In comfort, we say, "Who needs God?" And then when the comfort goes away, we say, "Where is God?" And Israel is pursuing their own comfort without God. I just want to be very careful here to make sure you don't misunderstand. I'm not saying we shouldn't be comfortable. Listen, I'm all about it. But we have to be aware of what it does to us. It makes us want to have that instead of God. Okay, back to Exodus chapter 14. Look what Moses says to the people of Israel. They cry out to God and say, why didn't you let us die in Egypt? And then Moses tells them this, verse 13, fear not, stand firm, see the salvation of the Lord, and he's going to work for you today. The Egyptians whom you see today, you will never see again. They're not good swimmers. Verse 14, the Lord will fight for you. You only have to what? What's it say? Be silent. Yeah, you know what it should say? Shut up. No, I'm serious. Most commentaries, the thing here is that nothing good is coming out of your mouth hole. Seriously, the best thing for you to write and do right now is to zip it. Zippy long stockings, the whole thing. Psalm 46:10. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow. He shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Shh. God's in the house. He's got it. Yeah, but they got chariots. Yeah, he torches those. They got big guns. Yeah, he destroys those. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah, meaning, shh, think about it. Pay attention. Be still. Well, what's the to-do list to get God's victory? Shh. What are the 10 steps? Shh. He's God. He's God. Some of us sometimes don't know how to pray. One of the best ways to pray is just sit there. Say, God, you're God, I'm not. Do what you got to do. Our job is to have faith that says, I will rest in him. I know him. I've read about him in his Bible. I've seen him work my life. I know him so well. I know he's got this. I know he's got this. Good news is God has it. Bad news is he's in the wilderness. Romans 8:18 says this, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us. The creation itself waits for eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. He's saying this, I consider that our present sufferings aren't worth comparing to the land we're going to. We don't like this verse. Now, we do like this verse because we like the idea that heaven is awesome, because it is. It's going to be great. What we don't like about this verse is say, God, I've got an idea. Just spitballing here. Let's make heaven awesome and now this life awesome too. And God says, the roadmap to my glory is not the promised land. The roadmap to my glory is in the wilderness, because you will find me most faithful in the suffering. And God is going to take us through the land of the wilderness together with him, and we will attach our hopes not to this place, but to that place. We are still before God trusting him, not because we anticipate that he is going to make us comfortable, but precisely because we're not. And we're trying to say in our hearts and our minds, but God, I'm with you, and so that's enough. If being uncomfortable means I am with you, then I will take discomfort. If being with you means the wilderness, then I take the wilderness. If being with you means hunger, then I'll take the hunger. If being with you means being alone, then I'll be alone. If being with you means being small and humiliated, then I'll be small and humiliated. Do you know who did this really, really well? Jesus. Did he go in the wilderness at all? 40 days, 40 nights. What did he eat? Nothing. What did he drink? Nothing. What did the Bible tell us about him when he got to the end of the 40 days and 40 nights? Captain Obvious wrote this in the Bible. What's it say? He was hungry. Why does he tell us that though? Because he wasn't different than us. What Jesus was showing us is what we're supposed to do in the wilderness. Is say, I want God more than the other thing. So then what did the devil come and present him with? How about bread? You want some bread? And Jesus goes, no, I'm good. I'll take God and hunger. Hey, Jesus, how about answered prayer? You know God will never abandon you, right? So why don't we put God to the test and pray and see if he'll answer, and if he doesn't answer, you'll be mad at him. And Jesus says, no, I don't think so. I'll take God in the wilderness even over throwing myself off a cliff hoping angels grab me. Well, I've got an idea, Jesus. How about I give you all the power of the whole world? You never have to trust in God again, because you will have more power than Pharaoh. And what does Jesus say? Take a hike. Now, interestingly, do you know Jesus quoted a couple of verses there? Do you remember what he quoted from? Deuteronomy 6 and Deuteronomy 8, the chapter we were just in. Because Jesus understood it was better to be with God in the wilderness, hungry, humiliated, empty, than to be anywhere else. And all he is doing is calling us and saying, come with me, I'll be with you in the wilderness too. And when you are lame at being in the wilderness, don't worry about it. I stand in as your representative, having gone through the wilderness for you perfectly. I will give you my righteousness when you're not even very good at going through the wilderness. Be still. Rest in God, but know that does not mean we're going to necessarily be comfortable. Okay, last verse, Ephesians 3, 9 and 10, I'll read. It says this, God is going to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. He's saying this, through the people of God, God intends now to make known to the enemies of God in the spiritual places, Satan and his cronies, the glory of God and the manifold wisdom of God's purposes made known in his people, the body of Christ. Say, well, how does that happen? God with us, us with one another, and us deciding together to be with God, come hell or high water, that reveals the glory of God to the forces of evil in heavenly places. When a body of believers finally says, we just need God with us together, the gates of hell cannot stand against it, to quote Scripture. There is glory and victory over evil by standing with God, even in the wilderness and in the emptiness and in the difficulty, standing with the people of God together, standing with God, saying God is enough for us. Pursuit of purpose. Israel pursues comfort without God. Jesus calls us to something different as the body of Christ, calls us into the wilderness to abandon our pursuit of ourselves, our own comfort, and instead pursue life with God. The exact opposite of what Adam and Eve did. And when we blow it, we can say, his grace is enough. Here's basically the question I would have us ask ourselves after looking at how Israel responded to their difficulties in the wilderness. God wants life with us, and the question I think each of us have to ask ourselves in our own heart is this, do we want life with him? Now I know it's church, so we're kind of our default, of course I want life with him. But what if you didn't know where he was going to go? What if the roadmap to being with him is not disclosed to you and the road he's going to take you on is going to be really, really difficult? And that's exactly what Israel did. And so the question we have, God wants to be with us, but he's saying, I want you to be with me out in the wilderness before the promised land comes. Do we want to be with him regardless of where that road might take us? God's glory is found in this, and it's a comfort and it should bring us joy. God finds his glory in being with us. You know, he has other options. He is not codependent, like he falls apart if we don't accept him. He doesn't need us. He just wants us, and he wants us to desire to be with him. So God's glory is found with us, having victory over Satan, even in the wilderness. He wants relationship with us, and he gives us glory by pulling us out of slavery through the work of Jesus. So Jesus goes to the cross and delivers us from sin and from rebellion and brings us into relationship with him, and then we're walking with him in a relationship with him, and our life falls apart. And we say, well, God, I thought this Jesus thing paid off. I saw the guy on TV. He said, if I believed in Jesus and sent him $100, my life would be fantastic. Doesn't work that way. God's glory is found with us. Now we ought to think about our own sin for just a minute. Here's the fact. We want our own glory with God. If you read Exodus 14 and you look at Pharaoh as the bad guy, we got to be careful because we're that guy. Ever since Adam and Eve ate from the forbidden fruit, we became Pharaoh pursuing our own glory, meaning I want what I want, and I want it, most importantly, without God around, because that guy is a killjoy. We want our glory, and we want our glory without God, and so often our day-in and day-out life, even walking with Christ, our desires, our passions, our appetites exclude God. We fail to realize we missed the greatest thing. God wants to be with us, and we pursue our own glory in an effort to cut him out of our life. Second thing our sin leads us down is this, is basically a lot of times our life is primarily purposed around avoiding suffering. Avoiding suffering. So our roadmap becomes, how do I get through life and avoid suffering and maximize enjoyment? How do I work my way through life that capitalizes on the joys and minimizes the sorrows? How do I make my way through life as easy and comfortable as possible. The problem is when you read the story of God's redemptive purposes from cover to cover in the Bible, God is found where? In the wilderness. And think about your own Christian life, and maybe you would answer this differently than most of us. If you think about those times in your life when your spiritual maturity, your spiritual growth went up by leaps and bounds, I'm willing to bet that it was during times of great difficulty. Wasn't it? Very, very few times have I heard somebody say, you know, the time I really grew in the Lord is when I had everything I ever wanted. I mean, that could happen, I suppose. I'm not saying it couldn't. But what the problem is, when we too closely listen to our passions for avoiding suffering, what we've mistakenly done is inadvertently avoided God. What we ought to do is pursue God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our strength, and He'll be our comfort, even in great trials. Final question, we're going to close with this. In our life, whatever comes, good times, bad times, going to be a bit of both, my guess would be, do I want God enough, do I desire a relationship with God enough that I will go wherever He leads? Now understand, it's a question that's intended to prompt our thinking. I'm very well aware the Bible tells us God will never leave us nor forsake us. That's not my point. The question is, in my heart, when the Bible calls us to love the Lord our God with all heart, soul, mind, and strength, will that be my desire, regardless of what the roadmap to His glory looks like? Whether it be loss, whether it be suffering, whether it be grief, will I pursue God?
Pastor Greg Spires, illustrating with Pharaoh pursuing the Israelites in the wilderness, how our pursuit of passions and desires must result in following the Lord wherever He leads. And Pastor Greg will return in just a moment to offer a word of prayer to close out our time together. You know, during these uncertain times that we live, many people are experiencing fear about life in the future, especially if you read the daily news. But in Pastor Greg's Lasting Hope newsletter, he shares stories of hope and offers biblical wisdom that will encourage you in these challenging days. You can sign up to receive Greg's Lasting Hope newsletter when you go to lastinghope.org. That's lastinghope.org. Greg Spires is a lead pastor of FBC in Medford, Oregon. And if you don't have a church home of your own, Pastor Greg would like to invite you to attend our in-person church services at FBC. You can join us for worship and a message from Pastor Greg at 9:30 and 11 a.m. on Sunday, and we'd love to meet you in person. If you can't attend, we also continue to stream our services online at lastinghope.org. Just go to our website at 9:30 or 11 a.m. on Sunday and click on the link at the top of the website that says Watch Service Live. Again, go to lastinghope.org. Our website also has more information about Lasting Hope and the various ministries of FBC. Again, go to lastinghope.org. Finally, Lasting Hope is committed to bringing people into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you'd like to know more about what it means to know God, we have a special page on our website that will walk you through the steps to knowing God. Just go to lastinghope.org and click on the link, Knowing God. Now with some final thoughts, here again is Pastor Greg.
Will you join me as we pray? God, we thank You for Your grace, Your patience with us, God. You know very well that much of our lives have been spent pursuing our own interests, our own desires, our own goals. You know very well the idolatry and false worship of our heart. We worship our pleasures, we worship our passions, our minds are filled with greed and envy and all kinds of stuff. And You continually, over and over again, by the grace of Your word, say, come back to Me. Set aside the sin which so easily besets you and run with patience the race that is laid before you. You over and over again, with great patience and loving kindness and long suffering, remind us again and again and again the things we desire cannot bear the weight of our soul. The only thing that can satisfy the heart that You have given us is relationship with You. And God, You know in our brokenness, we don't see that very clearly. You know, in our rebellion, we don't see that very clearly. God, would You remind us again by the goodness of Your word how great it is to have a relationship with You and You alone? God, would You remind us again that even in the wilderness where everything has gone wrong, if we find ourselves in Your company, we're in the best place to be. God, would You forgive us for pursuing our own desires above all other things? Would You forgive us, God, for pursuing our own glory and our own purpose above you. Would you forgive us, God, that in times of great difficulty, we grow bitter and resentful towards you? God, would you forgive us during times of great comfort and plenty and joy? We ascribe to ourselves the glory for achieving those things, and we so quickly forget that you're the one who provided it. God, would you be at work on our hearts that we would root our hope in you and you alone? And I pray, God, that by the power of Christ, you might fill us with your Spirit, that we would walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Pastor Greg Spires closing out a message called Pursuit of Purpose here on Lasting Hope. And that's all the time we have for today, but please join us next time as we continue our look at the life of Moses and a message titled The Helpless Made Victorious. That's next time on Lasting Hope with Pastor Greg Spires. Lasting Hope is the radio ministry of FBC in Medford, Oregon.